What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit BestWestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
And I'm looking forward to kind of getting a background history of it and kind of what you guys have got for the consumer. This is a hunting podcast, so how we utilize some of those products in the field, not only on the tactical side of it, but also for hunting.
100%. Yeah, just start throwing some questions at me. I'll be happy to answer them, and we can get into the details of everything.
All right, so Palmetto State Armory is known now for selling guns that they've created themselves, but is that the original purpose for the brand, or did you guys start out as a retailer for other brands and you just kind of figured out how to do both?
No, so we started out as a retailer for other brands. Jamin actually started the company in his garage, and he was selling P-Mags and a couple different ammo calibers. And then from my understanding, you know, one thing led to another, and I think he overflowed his garage into his living room. And it was at the point where the ammo was filling up their living room that he decided he needed to buy a warehouse. And somewhere along that time, somebody misshipped a package of buffer tubes to Jamin, and they told him just to keep them. And so he started selling AR parts, and then one thing led to another, and we started manufacturing ARs. But it was kind of all a happy mistake that it happened in the first place.
Sounds like a pretty good mistake, because it's definitely worked out, because from starting in somebody's garage to where you're at today, because I've had a chance to tour some of your showrooms and stuff like that, because we don't have a Palmetto State Armory where I'm from. I'm used to the online store. You have a nice setup.
Yeah, we have 9 retail stores now, I want to say, and then several manufacturing facilities. I don't even know that I can count them all. But yeah, so we've definitely come a long way, and we've gotten to the point now that we're probably, by volume, we're either, right there at the top, or if not the biggest manufacturer of AR-15s in America. So I've definitely come a long way on that aspect.
So everything that you guys make as far as ARs and stuff like that are concerned is American-made products?
Everything's American-made. Even our AKs and our pistols, we're 100% American-made. So we're completely covered there. And for the most part, you know, except for maybe a spring or something here or there, we make every part of our rifles.
Okay.
So, yeah, we make them in Columbia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and down in Florida. So.
Okay, so it's all East Coast stuff. So Palmetto State, I assume that's named after the state itself. So for the listener side of it, where is the Palmetto State at?
So we're headquartered in South Carolina, which is the Palmetto State. Our state tree is the Palmetto tree. So that's why there's a palm tree with cross cannons on the logo.
Okay, so where do you have those 9 retail stores? Are they only there in that state or multiple states?
So we have 7 in South Carolina, and then we have expanded into Georgia with 1 store, and then expanded into North Carolina with a 2nd store.
Okay. And then with the production of the guns and the firearms, stuff like that, that's probably not something that's done in a retail store. You have like a manufacturing facility and stuff like that?
Yeah, so our pistol manufacturing is closer to the coast in the Charleston area, and then our AR assembly is in Columbia, South Carolina, but that doesn't necessarily mean all the parts are made in Columbia, South Carolina. The assembly happens there. The manufacturing is split between multiple different facilities, whether it's in, you know, barrels in Charleston and receivers are really all over. There's some in Columbia as well, but then we even own a facility up in Michigan that manufactures some bolts for us, and our bolt carriers are coming out of North Carolina at a little shop we own. So, I mean, that's spread out, but it all culminates into Columbia, and they're assembled in Columbia.
So here's a question you may not have the answer to, but how hard is it to be a gun manufacturer in today's world that we live in? I mean, it seems like I can't post a photo of a gun on social media without getting some kind of backlash or getting my content deleted. So how hard is it to actually stay in business and fight through some of these regulatory agencies and stuff like that?
It's pretty tough. You know, we have a great compliance team that helps us on the actual selling side. So they handle most of that, but on the marketing side, I'm a little more privy to that. So it is, you know, it's a lot of hoops and stuff you got to jump through to have your content remain live, but it's, you know, something we've learned to navigate and something we're trying to continue to excel at. But yeah, it's definitely hard to not get Facebook removed or something like that.
Okay. I'm a hunter, so most of my content is hunting related, but it seems like as soon as I put a weapon in that, like it goes away. And I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that have that issue as well. Do you have any advice for somebody that has so much experience with that, like how to navigate that on social media? Because as a hunter, like I want to see that content as well as produce it too.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, there's a couple words that we've learned to stay away from, you know, anything to do with sell or price or anything like that is going to get, flagged immediately. It'd be hard to say. I mean, we've just kind of got a list of stuff we know to check before posting something, but some gun content is okay. You know, if you start getting too tactical, it'll get removed or too, you know, even if you use the word tactical, I'm pretty sure that's an automatic flag on the Facebook. So, you know, you learn over time. It's just hard for the average person who, you know, you put one post up, because these companies, they never tell you what you did wrong.
Exactly. So
it's kind of up to you to figure out what you've done wrong. Now, I mean, we've been doing this for 20 years, so we've kind of figured out the words, but you know, I don't have them right in front of me, but yeah, there's words that'll get you flagged, and price is a big one. If you ever put a price up, you're down immediately.
Yeah. So we just wrapped up like some Memorial Day sales events, and I utilized a photo that I had taken of a saber as the background, had like this rustic American, nice photo. Man, you talk about getting in a world of crap. I put Memorial Day sales inside that title, and my Instagram was gone for about 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
everything got deleted, and I was like, okay, this was not a good idea. So
yeah.
On the business owner side of it, like, I struggle with social media and hunting and gun content because I continue to get my wrist slapped time and time again. So that question was for me.
But yeah, it's like I say, it's really tough because they never tell you what you did wrong. They just remove it.
Yeah. But all right. So you guys are focused down in South Carolina and you're starting to expand. And by chance, you ended up in a market from being a retail store to being a manufacturing and selling this and kind of creating this. So we've seen a lot of growth in the last few years from Palmetto State Armory, if you're paying attention, and you've had a lot of success with some of these new guns that you've brought to the market. What do you think is driving some of that increase in your product lines? Is it demand, or is it just, you think you can make a better product in that?
It's a little bit of both. A big thing that's driving it is our ability to listen to the customer. If you'll pay attention on social media, we're one of the only companies that you can post something negative about. And it doesn't matter if you post it and tag Palmetto State or you don't. You know, we have people that search the internet all day. You can get on a random YouTube video where they say something about a problem, or even somebody in a comment say, you know, well, mine had this issue. You'll see somebody from PSA a lot of the time saying, hey, you know, we can get that fixed. Or what, you know, reach out to me here and we'll get you taken care of. No other company is going to do that on a video that's not theirs. Very few do it on their own videos when people complain about things. But we will go into other people's videos, you know, whether it, you know, I think you do some YouTube, you know. Yep. So, you know, if somebody was on your YouTube channels in the comments saying, oh, my PSA doesn't run, you know, there's a pretty good likelihood that we're going to be in the comments below them saying, hey, reach out, we'll get you taken care of. So that's the first step. The second step is we listen to what customers want to see as far as guns go. We try to listen to their what they're asking us to produce and produce that. And that increases demand as well. But a big part of it is our customer service in the sense of taking care of the customer. That's our number one goal.
Yeah. If you're devoted to that far down and you're talking about commenting on people's individual comments on a social media post or video on YouTube, that's a commitment level that we don't usually see from a large company. Yeah. So with that customer service first kind of model and grabbing that kind of information from the consumer, what do you think is the, what's next? Are you allowed to tell us like, hey, we're working on this because of X or Y?
I mean, we're working on a bunch of different projects now, but you know, for example, something really recently that comes to mind, our bolt gun line that we talked about at SHOT Show. You know, people were excited, but a lot of people were saying, you know, hey, you guys have a 90-degree bolt throw. We don't want a 90-degree bolt throw. We want a 60-degree bolt throw. So we went back to the drawing board when we got back, and we said, okay, how do we change it to what most people are asking for? So, you know, just from the comments we received on the SHOT Show post, we've already went in and made a manufacturing change to change the bolt throw to 60-degree. And then what we're doing now is a big communication push from YouTube and social media. So we've already posted a YouTube video explaining, hey, you know, we told you guys June, but everybody wanted this change to be made on the bolt gun. So we made it, but it's going to push us back to January. So we're just trying to be open with the consumers while at the same time listening to them, if that makes sense.
Yes. And if you're not a gun guy, and I'll be the first to admit, like, I'm an archery guy for the most part, and I very rarely find myself in scenarios where I'm hunting with a gun until I have a stepson now. He's 12. And the more time that we can spend in the woods together, the better. So I find myself in more situations increasing his hunting opportunities. And that's what gun season for us does. I can pick up my bow and hunt for 3 or 4 months a year. Whereas the gun season, he may not be ready for a compound, but I can take him in the woods with a caliber specific to what he needs. And having that opportunity to kind of reinvent myself as a hunter has brought me into investing into more guns. And surprisingly enough, my gun cabinet is filled with a lot of PSA guns. Mm-hmm. So on the hunting side of it, you guys are making some great ARs and stuff like that. What would you recommend the audience look at if they're looking at Palmetto State Armory for a gun? Maybe just a deer rifle.
Yeah. Well, we sell a lot of different bolt guns that aren't necessarily ours. We'll have ours out soon, but you know, a lot of people look over the usefulness of an AR for hunting. You know, we sell 350 Legend ARs, we sell 6.5 Grendel ARs, 300 Blackout, and all these calibers are very soft shooting, but they offer, you know, soft point or expanding hunting rounds, and it's a good way to get kids into hunting, or young adults into hunting, because a gas gun shoots a lot lighter than a bolt gun, and those calibers are a lot lighter than, you know, a 308 or a 270 or something like that. So you know, as scary as some people see ARs to be, they are a good method of entry because of the reduced recoil, and you have a large caliber variety that a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah, so before I got into like hunting gear deals and this side of things, like, I didn't realize how many different calibers you could put on this AR platform. Mm-hmm. And for instance, I live in Ohio, so a straight wall 350 Legend cartridge allows me to hunt during the shotgun season in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I can take that same gun, and it's effective in the field in West Virginia, where I could use an actual rifle, like a 308 or something like that. So I get a lot of more options if I'm smart when I plan ahead and make those kind of purchases.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And they're, you know, we like to say ARs are kind of like adult Legos. So, even if you buy a 350 Legend, you know, you can change it to something else in a 10 minute span, you know, with a couple tools. So, you know, you're not limited to one thing. That's why the AR stuck around as long as it has, because there's so much versatility to it.
Yeah. And like, they're fun to shoot. There's no doubt about it, but they carry a negative connotation to people that aren't gun owners. Mm-hmm. And educating people on, oh my gosh, an AR-15 is a weapon of mass destruction, or whatever they want to label that as, but it's actually a real weak round for hunting.
Yeah.
So I'm sure like you guys have all that side of it, like pinned down and on that side, but what other kind of guns are you guys offering? You've talked about the bolt gun. Like, do you know what calibers you're going to be producing in the bolt gun?
So from launch, we'll have 308 and 6.5 Creedmoor, just because those are barrels we're already producing under a different profile for our AR-10s. And then we'll do 5.56 and 300 Blackout. And then we'll start getting into the weeds of different things. You know, I know we want a 6 arc to be made. That's all I know of right now, but you know, we like to do a lot of different things, so there'll be some variety to it.
Okay. Like barrel lengths and stuff like that, are they going to be similar to what we see on the, now when you say like 308 and a 6.5, you've got a PA-10, which mm-hmm. is like an AR-10, but it's just a Palmetto State Armory version. Is it going to be the exact same barrel, the 18 or 20 inch barrel, or can we expect anything a little different?
We'll do, you know, 18 and 20 for sure. As far as longer, I'm not sure. I know we'll have some options that are like a 14.5 or a 16 inch, because you're not really losing a ton of velocity on a 6.5. Very, you know, on a 6.5 for sure. You're losing a little bit on a 308, but it's not really defeating the purpose of the round on a 6.5. So we'll have shorter options. There's a big demand for shorter bolt guns that a lot of people don't recognize, because you don't necessarily need that 22 inch barrel if you're only shooting 100 yards. So a lot of people want something a little shorter and more manageable.
That, and I would recommend, I would expect that if somebody's going to put a suppressor on the end of that barrel, they're going to gain another 4 to 6 inches or more in length. So having that shorter barrel allows them to carry a shorter framed gun through the woods.
100%. But like me, and you know, I'm hunting in the South, in South Carolina, and all I hunt is swamp. And you're not, you know, there's no shot I take over 100 yards. So I would get a 14.5 barrel. Like, I don't need anything. I hunt with 300 Blackout a lot because I'm not shooting far.
Yeah, I mean, I got to agree with that from my personal hunting experience. The longest shot I've ever taken on a deer with a gun was 100 yards, and the longest shot that I've ever unfortunately released an arrow was not too far under that. And that deer is actually sitting on the wall right now. So my effective range with a gun is not pushing the limits, but I still utilize the same hunting methods, whether I've got a gun in my hand or a bow in my hand, because I want to be as close to that animal as possible during the hunt. Because that for me is the part of the hunt that I enjoy. Whereas there's a lot of long range shooters and stuff like that. And those weapons are designed for a different aspect than what I'm looking for. But
yeah.
So with the other mod, you've got the couple pistols that have been pretty popular in recent years. Can you talk a little bit about the dagger and the rock?
Yeah. So the dagger is our handgun that we make, and it's been extremely popular since launch, which kind of led us into making the rock. So the beauty of the dagger is it's very cost effective. You're not going to get a more reliable pistol for the money. I don't know. Is this going on YouTube, or can I talk price, or?
Well, it's going to go on YouTube. Yes.
Yeah. We'll just stay away from price. So, you know, you can get a dagger for very affordable compared to what you can get anything else. You almost half the price in a lot of circumstances. So the dagger has just taken off. And with that, you know, we got the same demand for the Rock 5.7 pistol, which I'm not sure if you've had a chance to play with or not, but it's an excellent shooting pistol. And that's a really unique round in a lot of ways. So we did the same thing with the Rock. You know, when the Rock released, it was a third of the price of any other 5.7 pistol on the market. So that took off in popularity as well. Not as much as the dagger, just because of 5.7 ammo being so scarce. But then, you know, from the dagger, which is about the size of, you know, a Glock 19 is roughly the size of, we went into the compact dagger, or the micro dagger, which is our concealed carry line of pistols now. And same thing, you know, it's extremely good pricing, and, you know, it's probably the least expensive micro compact on the market. So just trying to give people a quality firearm for a price that's not going to, you know, break the bank or something like that.
And that dagger, is it only offered in 9mm?
For right now, yeah. We have some plans to do a 45 version as well as a 10mm version. And then a 22 as well is something we've been looking at.
Man, so there's something to say about a 22 caliber pistol to just go out and enjoy shooting. Because let's face it, like 10mm ammo, like that's something I'm carrying if I'm going on a backcountry elk hunt or something like that. And there's a lot of hunters out there that carry that 10 millimeter as a side piece in grizzly country to protect themselves.
Yeah.
So that should be pretty popular, especially at the price point and the reliability that that frame has created into that dagger lineup.
Yeah. And, you know, 22 pistols get overlooked a lot, I think, because of the, I guess people look at every gun as a self-defense thing, but, a 22 is really an excellent training pistol, because most of the issues people have shooting pistols is technique more than it is like a recoil thing. So if you can practice your technique and stuff with a 22, you'll save a lot of money and you'll be a much better pistol shooter.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that, because I just got back from the range a couple weeks ago, and I've actually got a 5.7 Rock, and that was the most popular gun that I pulled out of my truck that day at the range, because all my buddies, they wanted to try it, and it's a really great shooting round. But when it comes to actually practicing, whether it be for self-defense or whether it be just to improve your accuracy, what kind of techniques or things that we should focus on when it comes to pistols to be accurate? Because it's not for everybody starting out of the box. You have to work at it.
No, it's not. And you know, I'm not really the best person to talk about, because I'm not, you know, a grandmaster pistol shooter or anything even close to that. But, you know, I think the most important thing to practice is kind of, a lot of people's issues comes from the trigger pull. There's a lot of, you can watch the barrel dip or whatever, they're jerking their finger when they're pulling the trigger. So working on smoothing that out. But then also, you know, you need to practice from the low ready position or from the draw. Once you get comfortable enough to practice from the draw, but you know, cause if you're looking at it from a self-defense perspective or even a match perspective, you're really never going to start with the pistol already drawn, you know, up up and at the shooting position. You're going to start with it from either low ready or pull out of a holster. So, you know, once you get the hang of pulling the trigger without dipping the nose of your pistol or going, you know, a lot of people will contact us and say, hey, my dagger's shooting low and left. So that's, you know, you're pulling the trigger and dipping the gun. And that's a very common issue with pistols. So once you get that smoothed out, the biggest thing is practice and getting on the sights quick and being able to repeatedly aim the pistol correctly, as silly as that sounds.
Okay, when it comes to sights, so either you have an optic on it, like some kind of red dot or red dot or reflex, or you've got a iron sights. Mm-hmm. Does every pistol come ready to mount optics on it, or does it have to be specially engineered to fit a certain style mounting system for a red dot?
So when we first released the dagger, we didn't have where every pistol was optic ready. But at the point we're at now, the only time we really run the non-optic ready is it's really when we go into like a sale or something or getting them out to dealers, because a lot of dealers still want the non-optic ready. However, our website demand is pretty much focused around an RMR cut, which is, you know, optics ready. So we just about only sell optics ready pistols now. But there are certain times where we will run some non-optics ready, because there are certain people that still want them, but the demand is not nearly as there, especially on our model where the price isn't very different. You know, some companies, there's a drastic difference in price between one that's optic ready and non-optic ready, but ours is not. So we typically just run the optic ready.
Okay. Would there be any reason that you can think of where somebody wouldn't want an optic ready pistol?
You know, there's some people that haven't really bought into the optics. I would rather have it and not use it than just not have it, personally. But there are some people that for whatever reason just don't want the cut. But I can't really think of a valid reason to not have it.
Are the iron sights any different that's already fixed on the gun or anything like that between an optics ready pistol versus not?
Not really. I mean, we sell different iron sights for both of them. You know, we sell the white dots and the night sights, but there's nothing really different at all.
Interesting. Yeah, I can't imagine, like, if I didn't to have those extra features and then not take advantage of it. So that's a weird one for me. So you've got the pistol lineup that's been very successful for you. What other lineups or product lines that you've seen released in the last few years that just continue to gain in popularity?
So the Jackal is a big one. The Jackals have taken off tremendously. It's our long stroke piston AR, and it works on a standard AR lower, but the upper is anything but an AR upper. You know, it's a long stroke piston instead of a gas impingement system. It's got a different look. It's got a fully monolithic upper. So instead of having, you know, a handguard and an upper receiver merged together, it's just one solid piece. So that's really taken off. I think just because it's something different and people are kind of tired of the same boring black AR-15s. So the Jackal's been a big one. The AK market was huge for a while, and it still is. The Krink is a big seller for us. It's something people wanted for a long time. And then, you know, it's just we're trying to get into things that people haven't necessarily been able to afford before. And the Krink's a great example of that, because a Russian Krink is probably, you know, $2,000 or $3,000, whereas, you know, ours are quite a bit less than that.
Okay, for somebody that doesn't know what a Krink is, can you elaborate on what that really means?
A Krink, that's kind of the American slang way to say Krinkov, which is just, I believe, Russian for short AK or maybe paratrooper AK, but it's an 8-inch barreled AK. So you get the same reliability of, you know, the bigger guns, but it's in an 8-inch package. It was made for paratroopers back in the day, but a lot of people like them just because they're short and they're really fun to shoot now. But they make a good truck gun or, you know, what have you.
Okay. And that AK sight is one of the most dependable platforms, probably, I'm not going to say ever made, but as far as that kind of model gun, like, there's a reason why they're still around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And And that AK platform, does it come in just a 5.56, or what other calibers can you shoot on that out of those AKs that you guys are building?
So we build them in 7.62x39 and 5.45 and then 5.56. So 7.62x39 is the traditional round you think of with an AK. And then 5.45 is kind of a Russian version of 5.56, if you will. They invented it to keep up with the 5.56. And then we do 5.56 once the ammo started kind of dwindling. It just makes more sense to offer a 5.56 gun.
Okay. And are you seeing, and you may not have the answers to this, but are you seeing anybody or opportunities where people can hunt with an AK or hunt with a Jackal that you guys are producing? Or is this just more of a sporting rifle?
You know, there's a lot of people that, believe it or not, use the AKs for hog hunting. And same thing with the Jackal. They'll get a 300 blackout Jackal and they use them for hogs. And then same thing with the 7.62. It's a great hog gun. And believe it or not, there's a lot of people that deer hunt with not necessarily AKs, but the SKSs. There's a lot of deer taken every year with an SKS, which is the same round as the 7.62x39.
Okay. And that's one of the big things when you get into buying rifles and different guns and pistols and stuff like that. I found out real quick that for every gun that I have to have ammo for that gun as well. So if I have a 9mm, a 10mm, a 380, and then a 5.7, like I got to have enough ammo for me to want to go shoot that gun. Because the last thing you want to do is buy a gun that's made to shoot, and then you put it in your gun cabinet or gun safe because you are afraid to shoot it.
Yeah.
So what I like when it comes to being a conscientious gun owner that is interested in not spending more money than I have to is buying the same platform that I can shoot multiple guns from or multiple calibers from in different platforms. Like for 5.56, the 308, that 350 Legend, that you've got AR platform, you've got an actual bolt guns as well. So that helps me out as a consumer, so I can use take the same box ammo and run it through three or four different guns. Now you've got the Saber lineup, and then you've got the traditional PA model ARs. Can you talk a little bit about the differences and the reason being that you have two different models of the same platforms of guns?
Yeah, so the Sabers is you know, I would think about the PAs as like a XLT truck, and then you can think of the Sabres like a, you know, a higher end truck that comes with leather or whatever. So what we notice is whenever we see our guns out, you know, posted on social media or whatever, they always have a couple of different upgrades done to them. And then typically it's the charging handle, the safety's been upgraded, and then the trigger's been upgraded. So we offer those from the factory. We also put an upgraded bolt carrier group in there and then some upgraded buffer systems to help cut down on some of that felt recoil. So it's essentially taking the things our customers have been doing for years, but offering them from the factory at a lower price than the customer can build it themselves.
Hey, let me interrupt this podcast episode real quick and talk about huntinggeardeals.com. If you're interested in saving money on hunting gear, there's no better place on the web. Basically, what huntinggeardeals.com does is scour the web for discounted products on hunting gear and shares them in one convenient location. So type in huntinggeardeals.com in your web browser and sign up for the daily deal email so you never miss a deal. Now, back to the show. All right, so we had to take a change of pace and where we're hosting the podcast at right now, but let's get back into the Saber. So the Saber is a more factory customized gun almost. It's like if I was to buy a inexpensive AR platform, that Saber is basically what I would want to build for myself, correct?
Yes. You know, and the main benefit there is, like I said, you save money versus buying the baseline and then upgrading it. You also save some waste because you're not throwing away parts or throwing them in your parts bin. And then you also, you know, you get a warranty on the parts that are in the gun, and you know it's built the right way, instead of doing it yourself and then something breaking and you're kind of on the hook for that, whatever broke.
Yeah, I was really impressed when I sat side by side with a Saber and then a traditional AR platform that was not as expensive. and how good a quality it felt just throwing rounds down range, like not understanding the parts inside of it, but actually just when it came to pulling the trigger and how smooth the gun was, you could definitely feel a difference when shooting that gun.
Mm-hmm.
So has that been a successful entry to your all's product line?
Yeah. Yeah. The people are very receptive to them. Especially now that we've started doing some more clone versions of different, you know, rifles that you've seen in the military or whatever that you can't do that we've started doing on our Saber 10 line. So we've got a couple different things like the M110, the M110A1, and the M110A2 is kind of different things we've been doing. So those have been extremely popular.
Okay. So, yeah, I wasn't even familiar with some of that side of it and all the cloning side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much can you talk about, like, when it comes to a design that whether you guys created or somebody else, like, how much of those two designs will blend together, what you're allowed to do, maybe what's patented? Like, are there any kind of gray lines there that we're looking at?
I mean, there's, you know, there's some things that you'll see, but the AR-10 is a very unique example because there's no spec to an AR-10. Each company has their own spec. So, you know, it looks like one, but it's not like it's a one for one copy of one. So there's not much you have to worry about there. But I mean, there are some things we have to look into before doing stuff like this. So there's always that battle as well. I can't really speak to it too much, but that is a, you know, a common problem we have to face.
Okay. So the first thing when I look at this Saber AR-10, I see forged versus billet. What's the difference?
It's just two different ways of making a lower receiver. So one is machined out of a piece of billet, and then the other one is a forging. So a forging is made by a hammer. It's hard to explain, but we have one up in the Charlotte area that we own, and it just kind of beats it into submission. Whereas a piece of billet is, I don't know. It's kind of hard. It's like a big brick. Yeah, it's tough to talk about because I don't really know the ins and outs of it and ins and outs of it. But a lot of people prefer billet because the fit is typically a lot tighter on a billet.
So tighter tolerances with the billet.
Yeah, you also get a different look on it. And some people think billet is stronger than forged, but I've never seen an upper or a lower fail from wear, really. So
okay, so when it comes to this AR style platform, how easy is it to interchange the parts, the uppers, the lowers, the barrels? Like, this is a customizable gun for on the same platform. So if you can, let's walk through that process of customizing and building your own gun.
Yeah, so if you're talking about an AR-15, you've just about got 100% parts compatibility between companies, you know. So you could buy an upper from us and a barrel from Joe's Barrel Shop, and as long as they're all built off of mil-spec, which most of them are, you know, they're pretty much 100% compatibility because we have a spec to go off of. There was a spec set when the military adopted it, which was mil-spec. So most parts are built to mil-spec, so you can change just about every part pretty much 100% of the time between the platforms. You know, they may not always work together when you get into different carriers and different buffers and buffer springs. I mean, we're getting kind of in the weeds there as far as that goes, because that's going to depend on your ammo. But then the AR-10s are not as compatible because there was never a spec that was adopted between everybody. So there's a couple of different, there's an SR-25, there's a DP-10, I think is what it's called. And, you know, there's a bunch of different specs. So you do have to do some checking on the AR-10s. Now, that being said, there's still a lot of things you can swap out. You just have to be a little more careful. But AR-15s, I mean, the possibilities are endless of what you could make.
Okay, so with AR-15, do I need any specialized tools to start customizing these guns? Or is this something that I shouldn't be doing unless I have the knowledge to do so?
I mean, you have the internet at your fingertips, so there's an endless amount of resources. The main thing you need is a barrel nut wrench, but that's very easy to come by. And then a torque, you'll need something to measure torque to make sure you're torquing everything properly. But,
okay.
You know, so you need a torque screwdriver and a,
a torque wrench, basically, and you can have at it.
Okay, so I could sit here on the my desk here after we get done with this podcast, strip down an AR, and then build it back, long as I've got the right tools, and then change out some of those parts.
Yeah, adult Legos, that's what we call them. Whereas an AK, you know, you just about have to be a gunsmith to do anything on it, because you're an AR's headspace is set, you know, by the receiver, or, you know, it's set pretty much. It's hard to describe, but an AK, you have to know what you're doing to set the headspace on it.
Okay.
And the headspace is what's going to keep your gun from blowing up in your hands versus running correctly.
Yeah, that's kind of the main point. When I pull that trigger, I want that bullet going down range and the recoil to be felt in my shoulder and not my face. So
So an AR, you could do it on your workbench there. As long as you could torque everything down the right way, you should be good to go. But an AK, you know, that's where the stuff gets more complicated, you know, and everybody, there's a misnomer, I guess is what it would be, on AKs, that the, you know, they're building caves or whatever, you know, that's what people say. They're so easy to build. They're so cheap to build. They're really not. they're pretty complicated. And you could tell that just if you had an AK and bought a handguard, you know, a handguard on an AK, you might have to do some filing, you might have to do some adjusting and stuff. Whereas an AR, you can just put the right barrel nut on, slide that handguard over, torque it down, you're good to go.
Okay. So when it comes to the AR, like how many different calibers might fit on that same platform? Or is it just going to be one platform and then just different, or one caliber of ammo and then different types of parts and components to kind of customize what the user wants?
It's pretty much endless. You can take, as long as you're changing barrels out, you can pretty much do whatever, you know. It's just a barrel nut and a, you know, barrel swap, and you're into a different caliber. As long as it's kind of fit. There's different calibers that fit in an AR-15 receiver versus an AR-10 receiver. Kind of like a short action bolt gun and a long action bolt gun. So you've got some restrictions there, but you know, as long as you can get a barrel for it and a barrel nut for it and a bolt for it, you're pretty much good on an AR-15.
Okay. Now I'm gonna put you on the spot. I'm gonna ask for you to pick out two of your favorites, one pistol and one gun. Now that PSA makes, what would be your two top picks if you had a new customer coming in and said, this is what I'm looking for, a pistol and a rifle? Point me towards the right direction.
If they didn't own any guns,
if they didn't own any PSA guns, they didn't have any kind of hesitations on what they were looking for, and you were just going to steer them towards, like, this is a great representation of our brand and the capabilities of what we can do as a company.
Yeah. So I'll approach it from two different aspects is what I'll do. So if somebody came into the shop and they didn't have any guns, period, I'd tell them to get one of our Freedom rifles or one of our lower end ARs, you know, because you could pick one up for very affordably. And then I'd tell them to get a dagger. And the reason I do that is because a new gun owner, you know, they want to get to the range and start learning and training. And the most important thing that they can do is buy ammo and a lot of it and practice. You know, because there's no reason, just like if you're a race car driver, there's no reason to get a $100,000 car before you pass driver's ed, you know. So I would point them in the basic direction. I would, you know, point them to the most affordable gun we make, and I'd tell them to get some training and get into it. And those two guns are going to do fantastic for that purpose. And they're going to give them the baseline to grow their love for guns and get into the higher end stuff. Now, if they already had something, if they had been into guns for a while, I'd probably point them to a Jackal. That's my favorite gun to use. And then a Saber dagger. We just released those, so that's our higher end dagger line. And that's, you know, kind of the peak of our dagger pistols. But then the Jackal would get them into something different than an AR. It would show them that there are different opportunities. But like I say, we're talking about a new gun person, I would say PA-15, a basic one, and then a dagger, because they're both very reliable guns, and it's going to let them practice and train and get into the sport and kind of learn to love it, if that makes sense.
I mean, it makes perfect sense, because that both options that you kept brought to the conversation here apply to every listener on here, because we've all been in a situation where we needed our first gun, whether it was bought for us or we bought it our own self once we got our interest in hunting, mm-hmm. or now we want a new gun. Cause you know what they say, if you own one gun, you want more guns.
Yeah.
And we end up collecting more and more. But the problem is sometimes we buy more guns than what we're actually utilizing on the range, getting familiar with. So that range time and having inexpensive ammo opportunities allows you to get the most enjoyment out of that purchase for long periods of time.
Yeah. And you know, there's some diminishing return on AR-15s, especially, you know, most people are not going to outshoot an affordable AR. So the best thing they can do is get into it and then use that money to purchase ammo or training or whatever, you know. That's more on the sporting side of it than I would say the hunting side, but.
Okay. Now, with where they're gas and stuff like that, like how often should we be cleaning these guns? How often should we maybe be replacing something after so many rounds? Do you have any of that information?
You know, we don't put a lot of that out there. Cause it's really up to you with a lot of it. The AR has made it where it is because of how reliable it is, even when it's dirty. So we don't have like a recommended cleaning. You know, I'd say every 1,000 rounds, I probably clean and oil my guns. But there are times I neglect that longer than I should. But, you know, the main thing I'll tell you is if you purchase a gun with an adjustable gas block, I would recommend opening it all the way and closing it all the way and then putting it back on the setting you had every 500-ish rounds so it doesn't get carbon locked. But you know, cleaning, you know, there's people that clean them every time they go to the range, and there's people that will neglect them a little bit, you know, but they're ultimately meant to be ran and ran hard. So it's not, as long as you keep lube on it, you can go without cleaning it for a while.
Okay. I'm gonna have to edit that one out. I got tickled on that one, but, I was wanting to laugh, and I was like, come on, keep it professional here.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So what else about Palmetto State Armory that the consumer should know? Maybe it's a product line. Maybe it's your manufacturing process. What makes you special to where the consumer is going to come to you time and time again when it comes to buying products, whether it's guns, ammo, or accessories?
You know, I think what makes us different is our commitment to the customer themselves. You know, our whole mission statement is to provide affordable firearms or quality firearms at an affordable price. So, and that extends beyond ours. You know, you're typically going to find the best pricing on PSA, and that's because we don't want to set a barrier to entry. We want it to be available to everybody who can legally do it. So I think that would be the most important thing about us, is just our commitment to making these products available to the average person.
Okay. Yeah. And then lastly, before we wrap up, that bolt gun, what else can you tell us about the bolt gun? Because there's a lot of hunters on here that's probably heard information about guns they may never buy, but that bolt gun may be the one product from PSA that they have interest in. So what else can you share?
You know, so the bolt gun, I think we're doing something unique there as far as how we're going to do it. So just like our ARs, you can buy, you know, a lower receiver or upper receiver and you can piece it together. Our bolt gun is going to be the same way. So I would say the most important thing to know about the bolt gun is it's going to be a build it yourself system. So if you heard, you know, you can buy a receiver and then you could buy, like we talked about, two different barrel lengths. If you say, well, sometimes I want a 20-inch barrel, but sometimes I might want a 16-inch barrel. You can buy both barrel lengths, and you'll be able to service that at home instead of taking it to a gunsmith or having to buy two guns. And then we'll have a bunch of different options. So maybe you have, you know, we'll have chassis options through Sabre, and then we'll have like your basic hunting spec with a polymer or wood stock through PSA. So, you know, that gives you the stepping stones to where maybe you are a hunter, but then, you know, down here you hunt from August to December. So maybe after December, you know, I still want to shoot or do whatever. So then I can take that same bolt gun and change out some parts and have a long distance gun and start practicing on a long distance thing. Maybe I get in a long distance shooting. It's really just going to be kind of a stepping stone platform because of the modularity of the whole system.
That's awesome. So I'll be looking forward to that release. You said originally it was scheduled for June, but you all had to make a change by public opinion. They wanted a 60 degree turn bolt versus a 90 degree, which what was being originally designed. When are they going to hit the market? Do you have an idea?
There should be more information that comes out at SHOT Show next year. But you know, right now it's looking like an early next year release, but we'll have a better idea of that once we get the new actions in and start doing some more testing on them.
Okay. Well, as soon as they hit the market, hopefully we can jump back on a call, talk in detail about these bolt action guns.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, where can the consumer find more information about Palmetto State Armory?
So without a doubt, the best place to follow us right now is on our YouTube channel, Palmetto State Armory on the YouTube, and then social media as well. We're huge on social media, as I just said. So Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we're on each of those, whatever suits everybody's fancy. You know, you can head on over to whatever platform you like the best and follow us there. But that's without a doubt the best way to get information.
All right, man. I appreciate you taking the time to be on the podcast today to let us learn a little bit more about the Palmetto State Armory product lines and teaching us a little bit more about guns.
100%. Thank you for having me, Cameron.
Thanks, Justin. I appreciate it.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.